talking newspaper for Coventry. This is Outlook. Our recording studios are currently closed due to the current pandemic. This alternative shortened edition is produced using text-to-speech technology and only available online.
A roundup of the week's news in Coventry.
The threat of a new variant of coronavirus means Coventry residents cannot lower their guard over the Christmas period. The warning comes after swathes of the country was placed into Tier 4 over the weekend after details that a new variant of COVID is spreading much more quickly, putting significant and rising pressure on hospitals and the NHS. It is now illegal to travel to or from a Tier 4 area, where Christmas bubbles have also been scrapped. Christmas bubbles for those living outside Tier 4 areas, such as Coventry, can meet with no more than two other households on Christmas Day only. People who have recently returned from a Tier 4 area to the region are urged to self-isolate for 10 days, as part of a joint statement from the directors of public health in the West Midlands. This means remaining inside the house where they're staying for the whole 10 days. Other people who live in the house do not need to self-isolate unless they get symptoms, but no visitors should be allowed in that house at all, even on Christmas Day. Even if you have a negative test, you should continue to self-isolate. Liz Galton, Director of Public Health at Coventry City Council, said it was critical people continued to follow all of the advice and regulations over the Christmas period. This year has been so challenging for all of us, and I know that so many of us were looking forward to the Christmas period for a bit of normality in such a tough year, she said. But the events of the weekend have shown that we cannot let our collective guards down over Christmas, as, although we are in Tier 3, our rates are rising and the new variant could well already be circulating around our region. What we do know is that the measures that stop COVID spreading will also work against this new variant. That means things like hands, face, space is absolutely essential as they do work, which is why it is so important we do not relax over Christmas. We must continue to do the right thing 100% of the time, avoid close contact with anyone not in our bubble, especially when in closed spaces where the virus can transmit more easily. Other advice for the Christmas period includes: you must not travel to Tier 4 areas. Traveling in and out of different tiers risks increasing the speed that the new variant will spread across the country. Although Coventry is in Tier 3, our rates are increasing and it is probable that the new variant is circulating. Therefore, keep your contact to a minimum and act like people you see have the virus. Think, should I do this given what we know about the new form of the virus, not can I do this within the rules? You can only meet your Christmas bubble on the 25th December. Keep your visit as short as possible, as few people as possible, and outdoors if you can. Look out for other people, but pick up the phone or see people virtually to check if they are okay. Liz added, I know it has been such a difficult year, but it is so important we continue to build on what we have achieved so far, so we will be able to see our friends and family as soon as possible. But we need to hold off for a little longer and let the NHS do its work treating people with COVID and other critical health needs and give them the time to roll out the vaccine. The NHS really need our help at this time. Anyone who shows any symptoms of COVID-19, no matter how mild, should book a free test immediately by calling 119 or visiting www.nhs.uk/coronavirus.
A runner from Coventry has run 1,500 miles in 1 year, as well as managing to raise over £50,000 for charity. Haroon Mota decided at the beginning of the year he wanted to get in better shape and put his running shoes on to help him achieve it. But Haroon, who turned 35 on Christmas Day, took his target to another level when he also started to raise money for the Penny Appeal, a humanitarian organization which works in 30 crisis-hit countries helping people in poverty. Initially, the former Sydney Stringer pupil, who also works for the charity, wanted his challenge to include marathons across the world, including in the US and Germany. But these plans were scuppered in part by the COVID-19 outbreak earlier in the year. Haroon told Coventry Live, I had a plan at the start of the year, get back on with my fitness again, get back running again. I had a couple of years where I've not really been satisfied with myself. I wanted to get fit again and I kind of had the number of 1,000 miles in my mind as that's what I started off with. Harun Mota. Harun Mota. Though the pandemic came along in March and put nation into lockdown, Harun says there were positive elements which helped with his running. It went really well once lockdown came, he admits. I took it as a positive for me because it enables me to get on with my training. My days were set up around my training, I was really consistent with my work and efforts and I was running really hard for my charities. One thing the pandemic did impact was Harun's globe-trotting plans to take part in some high-profile marathons around the world, but nothing was going to stop him running and raising money. He said, "This year I was actually supposed to run 4 marathons, Chicago, New York, Berlin, and London. So that was my original goal. I had set up a fundraiser and my original target was £25,000, then they got cancelled." Harun's constant running has certainly captured imaginations, and he often gets encouragement from passers-by while on his route. "I stick to similar routes because it helps me stay focused and I know where my mile markers are," he explained. "People see me running and they give me a wave or beep of their horn and it keeps my mind busy and keeps me driving on, I guess." You can still donate in support of Harun by visiting his Just Giving page, www.justgiving.com/fundraising/runmotorrun.
The first electric E-type vehicles were due to be produced this summer. Perhaps only a handful of cars can be classed as automotive icons, but the Jaguar E-type is most definitely one of them. The E-Type remains one of the most sought-after classic cars ever made and still has legions of admirers almost 60 years after it was launched. There are few who would dispute the claim it is the best car to ever come out of Coventry. Built at Jaguar's Browns Lane factory between 1961 and 1975, mint condition fully restored models now fetch astronomical prices at auction and even barn finds in poor condition are swiftly snapped up. The E-Type was originally developed as a racing car, but Jaguar decided to put it into production as a road car and roadster and fixed head coupe, FHC, versions were developed. No one is really certain if Enzo Ferrari did ever describe the E-Type as the most beautiful car in the world, but it's a motoring tale that is often retold. The E-Type lives on in many ways, and not just as a carefully restored classic. Jaguar Land Rover is actually producing them again at one of its specialist facilities on the edge of Coventry. Jaguar Land Rover Classic Works in Wrighton is a place which both restores and recreates Jaguar and Land Rover vehicles from both marks' illustrious histories. It also houses a truly amazing collection of heritage vehicles, including Sir William Lyon's own Jaguar and many prototypes. There are 2 versions of the E-Type produced at Wrighton, an electric E-Type and the E-Type Reborn. Classic Works also offers restoration and electrification services for E-Type owners. Jaguar Land Rover announced in August 2018 that it would build all electric E-Types in Wrighton. The news followed the F-Sports car's successful debut in concept form at Jaguar Land Rover Tech Fest in September 2017. Combining its restoration expertise with cutting-edge technology from the Jaguar I-Pace, Classic Works offers tailor-made E-Types restored and converted to electric power at the same facility as its E-Type Reborn restorations. An EV conversion service for existing E-Type owners is also offered, and to preserve the authenticity of the base vehicle, the EV conversion will be fully reversible. The first electric E-Type vehicles were due to be produced this summer and one was famously used by Prince Harry and Meghan Markle when they departed from their wedding in 2017. The all-electric E-Type is wonderful, but surely the real deal is the E-Type Reborn. These really are something special, original E-Types restored to Concours winning standard. Announced in 2017, the aim was to deliver E-Types that were as good as the originals. These Reborn cars differ from what are often referred to as restomods, where classic cars are restored but given a modern makeover. They aim to be just as the originals were, rather than using the very best modern engineering and technology to deliver an altogether different motoring experience. At Jaguar Land Rover Classic Works, there are 30 bays dedicated to the Reborn program. Skilled craftsmen and engineers combine the latest technology with traditional craftsmanship techniques to restore and recreate some of the most famous Jaguars ever made. As one might expect, E-Type reborn cars don't come cheap. They start from £295,000, but just to put that into perspective, an Eagle Spider GT, a modernized E-Type created by Sussex specialists Eagle, would set you back more than double that. At a recent Jaguar Land Rover driving event at Classic Works in Wrighton, I had the chance to drive the E-Type Reborn. Not surprisingly, it was the star attraction at an event which had a selection of all the latest Jaguar and Land Rover models. It eclipsed an impressive array of vehicles that included potent F-type sports cars and even the Z Project 8 supercar, the fastest production Jaguar that has ever been made. It was for the most part a dull and rainy day, but despite that, the E-Type Reborn still sparkled. It essentially looks and feels like it has been transported by a time machine from the 1960s to the present day. This particular Reborn model was a Series 1 4.2-litre fixed-head coupe. One could happily spend an age admiring it from the outside, but allocated a coveted driving spot, I was eager to get in and make the most of my limited time at the wheel. Accompanied by a Jaguar Land Rover special vehicle operations engineer, I sat in, somewhat excited at the prospect of fulfilling a long-held ambition.
Colorful new rainbow lighting has been installed along the path in Greyfriars Green, lighting up the walk between Coventry Railway Station and Bull Yard. Greyfriars. The light columns use red, green, blue and white LEDs, which offers approximately 52 million lighting combinations to choose from, and there are already plans in place to use the lighting to mark special occasions, such as Remembrance Sunday and St. George's Day. Other lighting work in the city centre has included the new illuminated water feature in Bull Yard, as well as some new lighting columns. Lights on trees have also been installed in Hertford Street, and the Whittle Arch in Millennium Place is now also lit at night. Councillor Jim O'Boyle, Cabinet Member for Jobs and Regeneration, said, "It's fantastic to be able to see the lights switched on. It makes such a difference, and the pathway between the city centre and the railway station looks much more impressive and inviting, a true warm welcome into the city. We've also just finished work in Bull Yard, with new lighting, seating, a new water feature in the play area, which opened this week. It's great to be able to see that all our hard work is starting to really make a difference in creating spaces that work for local people, businesses and visitors alike." Councillor Patricia Heatherton, Cabinet Member for City Services, said, "The lighting just looks lovely. Greyfriars Green is such a beautiful spot in the day, and the lighting really showcases how beautiful it can be at night too. The path is the main connection from the station to the city centre, and the lighting makes it even more impressive. For more information on all the ongoing improvement works in the city centre, please go to https://www.coventry.gov.uk/2020city-centre-developments.
Those who find themselves alone or in need of support can enjoy a hot meal safely over the Christmas period thanks to Coventry Open Christmas. The event has been significantly scaled down for this year, with additional measures required to reduce the risk of COVID transmission while continuing to feed the most vulnerable, over the festive period. Coventry Open Christmas will operate from St. Peter's Centre, Hillfields, and will be open between 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. on 24, 26 to 28 December and from 12 noon, 4 p.m. on Christmas Day, to offer people a hot meal at their own socially distanced table. There are 21 places for people to eat safely, which will be disinfected after use, and guests will be required to wear a mask when not seated, and hand sanitizer, each are provided on arrival. Anyone arriving when tables are full will be given a hot meal to take away. Additionally, both guests attending and volunteers will be required to provide contact details, which will be used for NHS test and trace, if required. Councillor David Welsh, St. Michael's Ward Councillor and Cabinet Member for Housing and Communities, said, "This has been an exceptional year, but despite this there have been so many examples of the community, charities and other agencies rallying to support those most in need. We realize that everyone is having to make a lot of sacrifices this year, and especially in how they will be celebrating Christmas. Like many organizations, Coventry Open Christmas has been affected as a result of COVID, but I'm delighted that they will be able to put on a COVID secure event. Public health and the police have worked closely with the organisers of Coventry Open Christmas to make sure that all volunteers, those attending, and local residents can be confident that their safety is taken seriously whilst offering this vital support. I hope it is an enjoyable experience for everyone involved.
A massive effort from a collection of businesses and charities have brought Christmas cheer to homeless families currently residing in Caradoc Hall. Presents have been donated and food delivered to make the lives of the families special this Christmas. Elves from Steph and Phillips Limited brought donated presents overnight in the Doubletree Hotel, which kindly offered its space as a wrapping station for the presents for each child in Caradoc Hall. Langar Aid delivers food to Caradoc Hall multiple times a week, collecting from major food providers and delivering fresh produce, bread, fruit, vegetables, and dried food up to 4-5 times a week. Langar Aid is also setting up a hot food and beverage pop-up kitchen outside Caradoc Hall on Boxing Day and providing up to 150 hot meals to residents who would like them. Baby Godiva provided gifts for a number of families staying in temporary accommodation at Caradoc Hall. Gifts were handed over by Emily from Baby Godiva and were greatly received by the on-site housing officer Della and distributed by the elves. Baby Godiva provide a starter pack for all new and expectant mothers, up to the age of 5, and arranged for mums to receive items such as cots, prams, bouncers, nappies, clothing, toiletries, blankets and so on. Coventry City Council has also donated books, creative packs, for the children whilst Coventry was in lockdown, and have recently created a Winter Wonder project, which will display pictures created by the families of Caradoc Hall. These are being displayed and illuminated in the windows. Coventry Open Christmas provide M&S daily food drops, donated by M&S, and every 3 months they donate up to £2,000 worth of food from a supermarket training program. Natasha from Coventry Open Christmas has also applied for funding for an additional gift for all children and has already arranged and delivered a chocolate selection box for every child in the building to receive. Councillor David Welsh, Cabinet Member for Housing and Communities, said, "Once again the combination of private business, charities and Coventry City Council have been able to bring some Christmas cheer to families and children in need. Caradoc Hall provides a home to families and I hope all will enjoy Christmas and the children especially enjoy the presents." Chris Jeeves of Steph and Phillips said, "We are immensely proud of our ongoing work at Caradoc Hall in Coventry, especially at this time of year. It was our pleasure to be able to spread a little Christmas magic, with the help of our Steph and Phillips elves. A massive thank you to our contributing partners, this wouldn't have been possible without their support." The 103 flats that the council occupy in Caradoc Hall are rewired and have new flooring. The refitted kitchens include new appliances such as an oven and hob, a washing machine and fridge. The bathrooms have been completely refitted and the bedrooms and living areas are fully furnished.
The magical illuminated light trail, Luminate Coombe, that was due to be held in the new year at Coombe Abbey Country Park has regrettably been rescheduled again and will now take place in November and December 2021. The event was originally due to start on the 25th of November, and had been pushed back already to the 28th of January, but with the rising cases of COVID-19, and the threat of another lockdown, the company behind the event has been forced to cancel for this winter and try again in 2021. Daniel Maycock, one of the organizers, said, "With the rise in COVID cases and the threat of a new lockdown in the new year, it means that we can no longer proceed as we had hoped on the 20th of January. With the possibility of a new lockdown, along with the unknown tier restrictions that may be imposed, we feel it's best to push back again and put all our efforts into putting on a fantastic show in November/December 2021. Pre-show interest had been amazing and we are just really disappointed to have to do this again, but are sure we will come back bigger and better next year." Daniel added, "Anyone with tickets for the current run will receive an email from us with the option to either transfer their booking to the new 2021 dates or get a full refund." Richard Harrison, managing director of Coombe Abbey Park, said, "We fully understand the reasons behind this decision and with a rise in cases across the country it is the prudent course of action. It will hopefully mean that everyone can enjoy the full experience this time next year." The Sky Blues suffered a 2-0 defeat against Preston North End on a bitterly cold Tuesday night at Deepdale. Goals in either half from Daniel Johnson and Sean Maguire means City have now lost back-to-back away matches in the league. Despite applying plenty of pressure, City couldn't find a way back into the game and will now look to regroup as they head into the new year. Mark Robins made one change from the side that drew with Stoke City on Boxing Day, with Ryan Giles coming in for Sam McCallum at wing-back. The Sky Blues had the first shot at goal when a corner from the left was worked to Gus Hamer, whose shot from 35 yards out was comfortably saved by Preston keeper Declan Rudd. Preston then took the lead on 18 minutes when Maguire robbed Ben Sheaf of possession on the edge of the Sky Blues penalty area before finding Johnson, who finished low into the bottom left corner from 8 yards out. City almost responded straight from the restart when Matty Godden's low cross from the right found Hamer bursting into the area, only for Rudd to hold on to the midfielder's effort. The hosts looked to add to their lead when Johnson crossed for Alan Brown from the right-hand edge of the penalty area, but the midfielder's header was easily gathered by Ben Wilson. Half-time, Preston North End 1-0 Sky Blues. City made a quick start to the second half when Fanka Tidabo's venomous cross from the right was pushed to safety by Rudd, inside the first minute of the restart. The Sky Blues continued to search for an equaliser when Giles' cross from the left was headed over by Callum O'Hare under pressure from a Preston defender. Preston doubled their lead against the run of play when Maguire turned the ball home from close range after a goal-mouth scramble. Robins made a double change just before the hour mark, with Jordan Shipley and Max Bayamu introduced as City looked to find a way back into the game. Jamie Allen was next to try his luck for City, but couldn't control his volley from 20 yards out, with his effort flying over the crossbar. City made another double substitution with 20 minutes left to play as McCallum and Will Papaga were brought on, with City still searching for a way back into the contest. The Sky Blues almost halved the deficit when Hamer's corner from the left was met by the head of Leo Ostergaard, who couldn't quite steer his effort on target under pressure from close range. Hamer once again forced Rudd into a smart save when his thunderous half-volley from 25 yards out was pushed clear before McCallum's deflected drive was held by the Lily-White's keeper. McCallum made a superb block late on to deny Emil Riese-Jacobsen from adding a third goal for the home side as City finished the year with a defeat ahead of their trip to Millwall at the weekend.
Thank you for listening to a roundup of the week's news in Coventry.